the honor of talking to comedy legend Carl Reiner many times through the years about the Dick Van Dyke Show, about his work in Ocean's 11, 12, and 13, about his work writing and directing Steve Martin's first four movies. If I were to tell you the entire list of things Carl Reiner has done in his 70-plus years in show business, I wouldn't have time to actually talk to Carl Reiner. But I want to do that today because he's lived long enough to write his second autobiography.
Wow.
It's called I Remember Me, and he says in the preface, the book offers 55 chapters of varying lengths containing remembrances of things past. It is my theory that these memories are stored in a part of one's brain that does not allow your mind to access them until you're at least 90 years old. I became eligible last year, and the following is what my mind had stored in my brain. Carl Reiner, welcome back to the show.
And thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to talk to you every couple of years.
It is nice. I also should mention that at one point, Carl was doing a book signing and asked me after our interview to come down to the book signing so we could actually see each other face-to-face, which we never had.
I know, and I was wondering what your face looks like. My face is right on the book. Your face is, I can't see.
No, you can't. And I'm
not kidding. Can you send it to me on my tweet, whatever you do?
Yes, I will. I'll send it to you online. Do you remember how I asked you to inscribe the book to me?
No, tell me.
I asked you to put a line in there from The Man with Two Brains, one of the movies you did with Steve Martin,
yes.
And you agreed to write, Into the Mud, Scum Queen.
You know, that was one of my favorite movies of all time. It was not everybody's, but, you know, that movie, a guy massaged me a couple of months ago, and he started to recite the movie. And I said, what are you doing? He says, we have a club. We see the movie every few months, and we all know every line of the movie from beginning to end. And by the middle of the thing, I said, that's enough. I believe that.
It's a very funny movie with Steve Martin and Kathleen Turner. Yeah, very, very funny stuff. As I was looking through the stuff you have done over the years, I didn't realize how active you have still been, even in just the last couple of years. You did an episode of Parks and Recreation. You did, I think, a half dozen episodes of Hot in Cleveland. You did some voice work for the Cleveland Show on Fox. Where do you find time to actually write more of your books?
Well, you know something? Actually, I more or less have stopped doing, you know, going out of the house and going into studios. I think the last one I did was last year. And I'm solicitous of my time now because I use it for three things, actually. Walking around the block at least once a day, which I just did, and eating.
Mm-hmm.
And having to sit down and come up with something. And by the way, after I wrote I Remember Me, by the way, did you read it?
I did, yes.
Oh, what a nice guy.
Your assistant was nice enough to send a copy to me, and I read it and laughed out loud at some of the parts, and particularly enjoyed the stories about you and your beloved wife, Estelle, and your beloved best friend, Mel Brooks.
Oh, yeah, well, those are some of my favorites. But, you know, like a father, you can't have favorites. The book is my favorite.
Yeah. Speaking of Mel Brooks, I saw this thing online a few months ago that Jerry Seinfeld did with him, Comedians in Cars Drinking Coffee, and one of the episodes was with Mel. And I guess you and Mel have dinner together every night, and Jerry came over and watched Jeopardy with you?
Right. That night, we finished, and I said, Mel's in the house. He says, can I come in? He came in the house and continued the interview, and it turned out to be one of the better interviews.
Yeah, I thought it was very entertaining. Do you and Mel actually have dinner together every night?
Well, we see each other almost almost every night, practically 6-7 nights a week. He sometimes has dinner out with a couple of friends or relatives, and we'll have dinner maybe 2 or 3 times a week in my house. But we see each other every night.
And
he'll either come at 8 or 9:30.
And who's better at Jeopardy?
Oh, he's better at everything. He's smarter than me.
Did you ever appear on TV game shows?
Did I appear? I not only appeared on TV game shows, but in the book, there's a whole section about when I finished the show of shows, I was offered a lot of game situation comedies, but also hosted quite a few game shows, 2 or 3, and was a guest on practically every one of them.
I particularly like the story about the one that had, I think, 8 or 9 celebrities on it at a time.
Celebrity Game, that was called, yes.
Yeah. How did you get a word in edgewise?
I was happy not to. When they were cooking and being funny, by the way, the one memorable thing, I think it's in the book, Oscar Levant, who was one of the wits of the world and great pianist and Gershwin devotee. He was maybe the Gershwin interpreter, but he was considered a great wit, and everybody was laughing at everything. And Joshua Gabor would get tremendous laughs, and the whole panel would laugh, and except Oscar, he would sit there with a stone face. I said, Oscar, one day, I said, Oscar, how can you, when everybody's laughing so crazy and breaking up, you're sitting, you didn't crack a smile. And he said, I'm afraid to laugh. I haven't laughed in so long, dust may come out. Yeah, I remember that one. Anyway.
That's a great line. You have a story in here that I wonder if it's caused you any trouble since the publication of the book.
What's that?
Well, I know that the Church of Scientology is extremely litigious. They go after people all the time. And you have a story in here about getting L. Ron Hubbard's book, Dianetics, from somebody.
Right, right. That's one of my favorite stories because I couldn't understand why. I didn't call for it, but delivered at my door was the most beautiful book in leather-bound with Florentine leather and gold leaf pages, and it was Dianetics by L. Ron Hubbard. And I said, who sent me this? I couldn't figure out why, and I opened the book, and the very beginning, I see the word clear. Clear is what you get to be when you finally become a Scientologist. If you're clear, you're a Scientologist. Mm-hmm. The word clear is important. And I realized that my production company, Carl, Lucas, Estelle, Ann, and Rob, that was one of my production companies, Clear Productions. And Clear Productions, I think, did Dead Men Don't Wear Plaid. And they must have seen that Clear Productions present, they said a kindred spirit, somebody there, sent it to me. And I'm thinking, my gosh, this is one of the heinous cults in the world. And I said, I'm going to throw it in the dumpster. And then I realized I had a friend who was an artist, and he threw away a lot of his paintings in the dumpster. And he remembers one of the garbage men saying, "Oh, look at this wonderful painting. I think I'll take it home to my wife and hang it. It's so colorful." And I said, "You know, this is a beautiful book. Somebody's going to take it home if I throw it in the dumpster. And they're going to harm can be done." So I had a very large dog at the time, Homer, a lovely, lovely, which I write about in the book. Homer was one of our loves. He lived 12 years, a 126-pound dog, who made a lot of, three times a day or twice a day, he left a lot on our back lawn from the great meals he ate. And so with my pooper scooper, I pooped it up. I got all this poop up, and I put the detritus all over. I opened the book with the pooper scooper and dumped a lot of it in it and on the cover so no harm could be done by Scientology. Now, I worry, just where you said that, Scientology, somebody's going to come after me. But now this book comes out. Did you read this book by a guy named Reach, I think it is?
I haven't read it yet.
Oh,
no.
It's a brilliant piece of work. It's a very, it's about the whole cult, about who Ron Hubbard was and it's brilliant.
Yeah.
And so he's now going to run the fence for me.
Oh, good. Yeah, we'll go after him much more than after you.
Oh, yeah, they're really going to go because he really lays it all out.
Yeah. Did it occur to you while you were putting that stuff on top of the book that it was redundant?
No, I didn't. But now that you say that, if I ever have to do a reprint of the book, I will do that. I will put that in.
You're welcome. I give you that.
Okay.
Like you gave Shecky Green that line one time.
Oh,
I give you this line.
Okay. Now you have a reason to plug my book, so we do a second printing.
There you go. I'm Paul Harris, talking with the great Carl Reiner, whose autobiography is out now. It's called I Remember Me. I want to play a piece of audio for you, Carl. From 1966. I'm not going to tell you what it is ahead of time. You will probably recognize it, and then I want you to talk a little bit about this.
Okay.
Here is Carl Reiner and Alan Arkin from 1966.
Hello there. This is your man in Moscow, Carlton Kaduli. This year, an estimated 23,000 Americans will visit the Soviet Union as tourists. We're interested in finding how many Russians are planning to visit our shores. May we speak with you, sir?
If you're so able to, you can do it.
What is your name, if may I ask?
Yuri Rozanov.
Yuri Rozanov. Yes. May I call you Yuri?
You could call me by my nickname.
What's that?
You. Yes.
Well, thank you. You, are you planning in the near future to visit our great country?
Indubitably not.
You don't plan to visit?
Not in your tin type.
Are you interested in seeing America?
Not for a minute. I'll explain it to you. I have been there.
You have visited our fine country. When, sir?
I was there Sunday. Sunday a week.
You mean a week ago Sunday you were in America?
Sunday I was there.
Well, tell me, sir, how did you get there?
I got there, you guess.
Well, you were in a tour, an excursion?
No, I wasn't.
By plane?
No.
By boat?
Submarine.
That's hard to believe.
It's an amazing story to behold, but we could demonstrate it to you.
Could you? Well, how could you demonstrate this?
We have photographs.
You have?
Moving.
Moving photographs?
Moving pictures.
Where will we see these?
You ready?
Carl Reiner and Alan Arkin, 1966. That was from the trailer for the movie they did together, which I believe was Arkin's first movie, called The Russians Are Coming, The Russians Are Coming. Do you remember doing that, Carl?
You know something? I vaguely remember doing that, but I thought we did it at a party. We had a party once, and after, and I got up, and but maybe we did it at a party, and they used it for the commercial. I'm not sure, but can you send me a copy of that? That's wonderful.
Oh, absolutely. I'll send you a copy of that. I actually have the whole trailer, and while watching it, I thought to myself, did they say to the two of you, get up here and ad-lib something? Is that completely improvised?
It sounds to me like it was, because I remember at a party jumping up and doing something with him. I don't remember ever going into a studio with it. By the way, Alan Arkin, it's wonderful. I love these. Alan Arkin won an award, the Tony Award, for playing a version of myself in Enter Laughing,
mm-hmm.
the original thing on Broadway that Joe Stein adapted from my book. And so we have a long history together.
You were fantastic always, as that interview and many other interviews, like your role with Mel doing the 2,000-year-old man and many of the things that you did with Sid Caesar on your show of shows. You were terrific as the interviewer, the straight guy. Guys like you get enough credit?
Well, they give me more credit than I need. No, as a matter of fact, I'm a straight guy, and I realized a few months ago who I really am. I am the master of ceremonies. Now, explain that. It sounds like self-aggrandizing, but I've done like hundreds and hundreds of master of ceremonies jobs for the Writers Guild, the Directors Guild, the Producers Guild, whatever. And I get up, and I have this gift of saying what is ever on other people's mind. It's on my mind, so it's got to be on everybody's mind when we're together. And I say the truth, and we get laughs doing it. And so I've done it forever, and I realize that I get great pleasure out of saying, ladies and gentlemen, here he is, and point to somebody, and somebody comes up and kills them, either singing a high C or getting a big, comedy sketch going. And so the guy who's pointing it to him has always thought kindly, because he's the guy who introduced him. Now, I came to this conclusion when I saw a picture called, and by the way, did you see it, Searching for Sugarman?
Oh, yes.
Okay, I went to see it when it first came out. Nobody had seen it. I went nuts. I was like a pain in the ass. Everybody I met, every friend, I said, you got to go see this. And I said, call me after it. And some of them fought me. They said, I don't want to go. Most people watch shows on television now, watch movies on television. I got more people to go see that movie. I got more people to call me and say, thank you, thank you, thank you. I did it at the Academy last week. There were a lot of people at the Academy. I'm a member of the Academy that choose pictures for screening for the members. And I said to this group of 30, 20 people, I said, everybody, who hasn't seen, and most of them hadn't seen it. And I said, for crying out loud, go see this picture. And it's up for a documentary award.
Yeah.
And today, and last night, yesterday afternoon, I went there, and four of them came over and said, thank you, that was one of the best, a picture that you don't know anything about, and at the end you're smiling for a week. You walk out smiling.
Yep.
I said, you can't find that. And I realized that's what I get great pleasure at, pointing to things and say. So that's why I call myself a master ceremony.
My wife and I actually just watched that movie 3 or 4 days ago on DVD, and you're absolutely right about it.
you'd smile at the end, didn't you?
Yeah, absolutely. It's an amazing story. Speaking of asking people questions, I mentioned that you, of course, became famous for the work you did asking Mel Brooks just random questions when you were doing The 2,000-Year-Old Man. I know that you worked with Jonathan Winters in The Russians Are Coming, The Russians Are Coming, and he also you and he were also in Stanley Kramer's It's a Mad, 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 Mad World.
Right,
I think I got the number of Mads right there.
Oh, I love that movie.
Enough of them.
Yeah. I'm curious about whether you ever did the question thing with John Winters.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I sat... And I remember, I don't remember the answers or anything, but I remember getting a lot of laughs, and he didn't look at me. He was looking down at his penknife. He had taken a square block of wood about 3 inches by 3 inches and started to whittle at the beginning of the movie. He was trying to make a perfect egg. You know, only a hen can lay a perfect egg, but so can Johnny Winters. He whittled down this piece of block of wood to a perfect egg. And all I remember about the interview is I'm interviewing, he's being hilarious, but I'm watching him whittle an egg.
And you still had to come up with questions for him? Or was this just something you were doing where you were just kind of sitting? This wasn't televised, right?
No. We did it for the goof for people who were hanging around.
Uh-huh.
I just couldn't resist. What are you doing, Johnny? Is what I first asked. Then he answered about the egg, and then I kept asking him further questions. He's no question about his being a genius.
This year marks the 50th anniversary of It's a Mad, 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 Mad World.
We had a little screening of it with all of the people there, and it was very interesting to see those of us who were still alive. All. Most in wheelchairs or with canes or walkers.
Yeah.
I was so proud that I walked on the stage without a cane.
Good for you.
Well, I don't know how long that's going to last, but I'm still doing it without a cane.
When you work with a director like Stanley Kramer in that movie or Norman Jewison on Russians Are Coming or other things that you worked on, what did you take from them that you used later when you were directing your own movies?
Well, what I take from them is higher. The best actress for the job, so that they bring to you more than you bring to them, and that's what most of these directors have done. They'll go to, if somebody once said, it was Dick Van Dyke, said a director once said, funny it up, you know, that was the direction he got.
Uh-huh.
But most directors know that all they have to do is say, what I used to do to I've always had wonderfully great comic actors in the things I've done, from Dick Van Dyke to, you know, Steve Martin. And all that I did to these guys, at the end of a scene, I would say, cut, print. I said, now, is there anything left in you that you're dying to fool around with? You know, is something you want to add to that? I would take another take, or so once in a while, more than once in a while, they come up with something that's usable and gets right into the picture.
When you were directing movies, would you do a lot of rehearsal ahead of time, or would you tell them, go ahead, let's just shoot it and we'll see what happens?
You rehearse like any, you can't leave it up to taking the shot, because film is rolling. You don't want to have to say, let's do it again.
Yeah.
No, you rehearse a proper amount of time, maybe one or two, you know, quite a few minutes of solid rehearsal, and then you do it.
And what about with a pro like George Burns, who you worked with in Oh God?
George Burns was different than anybody else. George Burns came having learned the whole script, committed it to memory. So if I ever said, let's shoot out a sequence, or not the sequence we planned that day, he was ready. He knew that. I could not believe it. He never had a script in his hand. He just knew it. He just knew it. In the book, I said, by the way, that's one of the funniest lines ever, when I went in the book, I write about saying goodbye to him after doing Oh God. Did you read that?
Yep.
Yeah. I don't know if we can say that on the air.
Probably not.
No, but that's a good reason to read the book. It's the R-rated part of the book.
Absolutely. I am going to ask you, though, before we go here, one last story, if you would.
Yes.
In 1974, you appeared with your friends, Dick Van Dyke and Julie Andrews, who, of course, were known for their work together 10 years before in Mary Poppins. They were doing a special in England, I believe at Covent Garden.
Right.
And you appeared on that show just as kind of a guest star, right?
Yeah, as the ghost of Covent Gardens, yes. I was somebody who was constrained to be a ghost at Covent Gardens because he was a bad actor, and he acted so badly that they wouldn't allow him to die comfortably. He was going to haunt Covent Gardens until he could act again. Until he reclaimed his portfolio as an actor.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was, and we did wonderful songs and sketches together. But I remember it so well because Blake Edwards directed it, and at the very end, he didn't tell me what he was going to do. He needed a punch for the scene, almost for the movie. And there was I in Covent Gardens, and he says, "Okay, now you're alone in Covent Gardens. They just left," and he wanted me to do something, and I'm as the ghost of Covent Gardens. I said, "We'll try one more time," and I did something from Hamlet. I said, "To be or not to be, that is the question." Well, and I said a couple lines from Hamlet, and he told everybody, all of the extras and all the people, the grips and everybody, the electricians, to throw things at me. They threw tomatoes and everything. It did nothing that hurt, but it was fruit. They were pelted me with fruit, and he knew I would come up with a line, and after they threw all this fruit at me, I said, "I'm getting better. That is much less than it's ever been thrown at me." And it was used. You know, I remember that so far.
One of the great stories in Carl Reiner's second autobiography. The first one was called My Anecdotal Life about 9 years ago. Oh, that's a wonderful read. But so is this new one, which is about not just his career, but also about his family, his wife, his daughter, Rob. Just terrific stuff in there, plus stories about other celebrities as well. A wonderful, wonderful pleasure to have you back on the show, Carl. Thanks so much for your time.
And now that you've done this good kind of a interview, it inspires me to write another book, which I have already done.
You have?
Yes, it's called This Here Book. This Here Book is the third word of the three words of 171 word title. It's the longest title in the history of literature.
That's the only reason you wrote the book, to set a world record?
Yes, and no, what's interesting too, when I wrote it, it's not written by Carl Reiner, it's written by Cork Reiner, C-A-R-K. When, you know, with the L and K key are near each other, and I also always hit the wrong key and change it, and I decided not to change it. This time I'll write a book by Cork Reiner. So I wrote the longest title ever written, 170-word title, and to make it interesting, it's the longest title ever written, Guinness Book of Records along, with the shortest book ever written. So it's a 171-page title with a three-page novel. And it's a three-page novel, and it works. The three-page novel is a love story between an anorexic and a guy who's a morbidly obese, and it's three pages, and it works. And as a matter of fact, when people buy the book, when they go in the store and buy the book, and I sign for the book, I mean, when they want to, you know, I'm doing these book signings.
Yep.
I'm going to offer this. This book is from, by the way, it says at the end of the book, this book you get free if you buy one copy of I Remember Me.
Uh-huh.
But it will cost a penny. You put a penny in a jar, and the millions of pennies I will get will go to a charity of your choice.
Great.
But this book will be a three-page book.
There you go. The man can't stop coming up with ideas and working. It's always,
by the way, you're the first one to know about this book.
Well, I'm honored.
Exclusive.
I'm honored. Thank you, Carl.
Okay.
Carl Reiner. The book, again, is called I Remember Me. That's the autobiography. What a legend of show business. I'm Paul Harris. This is the Big 550 KTRS.